Hey everybody, welcome into Mining Stock Daily. It's a Thursday afternoon corporate introduction to Arizona Metals Corp. Arizona Metals trades on the TSX Venture with the symbol AMC and also on the OTCQB with AZMCF. I have been kind of mentioned a few of the latest drilling updates out of Arizona Metals over the last month or two. Some pretty decent grades, copper equivalent grades are coming out of Arizona there. So we welcome in the CEO and president, Mr. Mark Pace, to the show. Mark, pleasure to join you here on Mining Stock Daily.
Hey, good afternoon.
Thanks so much for reaching out. You know, this is a really interesting couple projects you have, but let's get the 30,000 foot view of Arizona Metals in your two properties, starting out with the flagship asset. That's the K Mine.
Yeah, thanks. We own 100% of both projects. The company is fairly recently listed. We listed in August of last year. The main asset, as you mentioned, is the K Mine. We started drilling that at the beginning of this year. We just completed a 7,000 meter drill program, 20 drill holes. And the focus of that was to test the historic resource. So there's a historic estimate at the K Mine of about 6 million tons at a copper equivalent grade of 6.4%. And that was defined by Exxon Minerals in 1982. And Exxon then was the subsidiary of Exxon Oil, the oil company. Exxon defined that resource as an internal proven and probable reserve, and that was based on 7 years of underground exploration. So there are two primary shafts on the property. They're exploration shafts that go down to 450 meters each. There's 12 levels of underground workings. The deposit was never mined, so those 12 levels are exploration working. So they were exploring by drifting underground. They did some underground drilling to test the thicknesses of the lenses, and they went down to 450 meters deep underground, testing underground, defining the size, and they also did about 7,000 meters of deeper drilling down to 1,000 meters to test the depth below the shafts. So that 6 million tons is defined over only 300 meters of strike, from a depth of about 120 meters down to 600. We know the deposit goes down to 1,000 meters, so we think there's good depth potential, but we think the real expansion potential here is to increase the strike. From our geophysics, we completed a helicopter VTEM survey last year. We think the deposit increases about another 400 meters north on strike. There is a single drill hole up there from 1993 that hit massive sulfides pretty shallow at 120 meters, which we believe is the starting depth of the deposit. And then going to the south, there's another about 400 meters of untested strike that's getting into more of a zinc gold zone, which Exxon had no interest in. So Exxon was aware that there was a zinc rich area to the south. In many cases, they didn't even assay it. They just noted massive sphalerite, moved on. We're seeing what they reported. We're seeing high-grade zinc, 8 to 10% zinc. The copper drops pretty low, 0.1%, but we're seeing decent gold grades with that 4 to 6 grams per ton. So we're currently permitting an 11,000-meter phase 2 program that we want to start next month. And the focus of that will be the strike extension of the K Mine, testing at 500 meters north, 500 meters south. But we also have two large untested targets to the west. So 500 meters west, there's a large VTEM conductor. It's a 40-meter thick conductor. Starts right at surface, 600 meters of strike. Same contact, same structure as the K Mine, but never been drilled. So this project, you know, has been untouched in the last 40 years. It's just been dormant until we put the roads back in. And then another 500 meters west is the Western Conductor, we've called it. It's a 70-meter thick conductor, also starts right at surface, 1,000 meters of strike, totally untested. We've just completed this summer a soil sampling and rock sampling program on both of those targets. They're both showing the same signature as the K Mines. We've got same structure, same geophysical signature, same soil signature, same rock signature, never been tested. We expect to start drilling those later this year. So total plan is 11,000 meters in 29 drill holes to test the K Mine extension, but also these untested targets.
There's quite a bit of history here with K Mine. I mean, obviously, something in your presentation specifically that caught my attention. Phelps Dodge's Phillips Dodge had quite a history in this area, and I know from some friends who worked at Phillips Dodge that worked in the area back in the day. But really, if you look down just to the southeast, is you will reach that Resolution Copper Mine operated by Rio Tinto. That has been kind of this ongoing huge copper project. I think they estimate that that project alone could produce more than a quarter of the United States copper demand, somewhat in the future. They plan on producing 130,000 tons per day by underground block caving by next year. But it took a long time to get to that point, right? To get the resolution to get into this production. Can you talk about the legacy in this district here for copper production?
Yeah, so I'll mention Rio Tinto Mine too, the resolution. So this district we're in Yavapai County, which is an hour north of Phoenix, was really what started the copper industry in Arizona. The first rich VMS mines were discovered here in the 1880s, and that's when the smelters around us were originally built to process this high-grade copper gold ore. So there are about 60 past-producing VMS deposits within a 100-mile radius of us. So we're on this rich VMS trend. We're at the southern end of it. A lot of those mines were exhausted in the late 1970s, early 1980s. And the biggest mine in the region there was Phillips Dodge, was the United Verde mine. So that mine ran for 100 years. It had extremely high grades. The open pit ran for 100 years, produced at least 30 million tons of copper at an open pit grade of 5%. In the last few years, they went underground, produced another 4 million tons at 10% copper. And that was right at the same time that Exxon was exploring the K mine in the late 70s. And at the time, at the metal prices of the time, Exxon was estimating 6 million tons at 4% copper equivalent. And, you know, we tracked down some of the Exxon geologists, and they said their problem was the head office was telling them the United Verde mine an hour north of us is running the open pit at 5% and 10% underground. So a 4% underground grade is going to be marginal in the 70s. Obviously, today, it'd be a 6% grade, which would be relatively high compared to other deposits. After those mines shut down in the 80s, many of them were put into the Forest Service. So we have about 10 kilometers northwest of us is the Prescott National Forest, and then 10 kilometers east is the Tonto Forest, and that's where the Resolution Mine is. They're building in the forest, but to do that, they had to buy private land to donate as forest land. We're very lucky that the K Mine is one of the very few deposits that's in the corridor between that Forest Service land, and that's the issue for exploration here. There's great geology in many of those deposits. There's probably lots of ore left, but it's very difficult to get a drill permit, never mind a mining permit, in national forest land. We're lucky that the K claims are all on Federal Bureau of Land Management mining claims, and the historic resource itself is on private land. Mm-hmm. So we've been lucky that we can get a drill permit in 4 to 6 weeks because we're on the right type of claims. But that's a big reason that a lot of this area has gone underexplored for the last 40 years, because it's quite difficult to work inside the national forest.
Can you give a comment on the, is it a copper project with precious metal credits, or is this a precious metal project with copper credits? Because I mean, if you break it down, the historic K deposit, the resource on the K deposit, 44% gold, 32% copper. Obviously some zinc and also some silver credit in there. It's a good problem to have, right? But which one do you want? Are you branding yourself more as?
Well, that breakdown you've mentioned there, that's not taken into account recoveries. Based on the historic recoveries in the region, and there was actually some preliminary metallurgy work done in the 1950s on the K mine. So a company called New Jersey Zinc was doing test mining at the 150-meter level. They sent a few thousand tons for flotation testing in 1951, and they were reporting copper recoveries of 90%, gold and silver recoveries of 70%. So we think those numbers can be improved, but if you apply those rough recoveries to the deposit, so let's call it 90% for the copper, 90 to 95, 70 to 80% for the gold, it's going to be a copper deposit with a gold credit. We think there's potential for a separate zinc concentrate, because typically with these VMS deposits, you see distinct zoning. So you can have a copper gold rich core above the heat source. As you move distally, you get into zinc lead or zinc silver lensing, and that's what we're seeing here. As we move out of the copper gold core that Exxon defined, we're getting into a zinc rich area. We've drilled a few holes into that, which is running at 8 to 10% zinc, but with 4 to 6 grams gold. So we've actually just started a desktop metallurgy study with SRK just to look at, now that we have 20 drill holes, we're looking at, we've asked SRK, compare this to other deposits, look at the metal content, what should we do for metallurgy, what are the next steps for a flow sheet, where should we focus our drilling, and we'll have, in the next few months, we'll have 30 more holes that we can add into that. So we're starting the metallurgical planning now. But just based on historic work, yeah, we'd say it's a copper deposit with gold credits.
Looking at the phase one drill results, you've highlighted a few of them. Really, I mean, it's continuity abound. I mean, you're looking at 25 or more meters, usually grading anywhere from just north of 2% copper to up to almost 4% copper equivalent. So, you know, great widths, nice grades here. That was phase one. What is your expectations for phase two?
Well, this deposit is, it's really structurally controlled. So this was an old sea floor that's been isoclinally folded. So it was vertically folded upwards. So it's very tight folds. And it's subvertically folded. So the hinges of the folds are plunging down its surface. Exxon had reported that when they got into the hinges of these folds, where if you can find the fold nose, that's where you see better thicknesses, but also better grades. And that's what we found. We did about six holes in the shallow part to calibrate our model to work out the drill deviation. When we got to hole 13, that's where we saw the first hinge. So in this, the K mine is in two zones. The north zone is 3 million tons. The south zone is 3 million tons. In the south zone, hole 13 hit a hinge that was 43 meters of 3.9% copper equivalent. But if you can find the noses of those folds, you see higher grades over good widths. So within that 43 meters was 15 meters of 6.7% equivalent. And once you find those hinges, you can trace them vertically. So we, from that first intercept, we moved the drill 50 meters up dip. We hit something very similar. 50 meters down dip, something very similar. So, it's small step outs up and down dip. But we think that hinge should continue about at least 200 meters further up dip and potentially 500 meters down dip. But because this is a repeating pattern and we have structural surface maps that we've completed, we think there's potential for numerous hinges. So Exxon had reported a similar hinge in the north zone. And with our drilling, we see the first indications of that. But we think that these hinges could repeat for about 400 meters on strike to the north, maybe 400 meters on strike to the south, and that's all untested. So the phase two program will be testing the strike to find additional of these big hinges. But that folding pattern continues to the west for 1,000 kilometers directly west. Sorry, 1,000 meters directly west. And that's where we see the central target. It's on the same contact. It's on another fold. We think there could be more hinges on those targets to the west. So we'll be testing those in this phase two program too, trying to find additional K-type deposits. Hmm. Our VTEM actually showed 18 conductors within that 1,000 meters, and we've picked the two largest ones. So the central one is 40-meter-wide conductor. The western is a 70-meter-wide conductor, both untested. So we'll go after the two biggest ones first.
That's very interesting, Mark. Thanks for – I wish people could see the video of you waving your arms around and putting locations on this, because you were very animated when you were just describing that. So job well done. You need to record that on a video and put it up on your YouTube.
It's much easier to explain when you have the map in front of you.
Absolutely. Okay. That was a great explanation of Flagship. We just got a couple minutes left. Let's turn around and talk about the Sugarloaf Peak Gold Project you also have.
So Sugarloaf is a very different type of deposit. It's a heap leach open pit target. It's located 2 hours west of Phoenix in La Paz County. We own 100% of that. It's a 4 by 6 kilometer land package on Bureau of Land Management mining claims. We're about 15 miles south of Kerr's Copperstone Mine, which was an open pit but is now going back into production this year as an underground mine. Sugarloaf also has a historic resource defined in 1983 by Westworld Resources. It's 1.5 million ounces at 0.5 gram, so lower grade, but it's oxide. It's oxidized down to at least, we believe, 70 to 100 meters. It starts right at surface, and it's about 300 meters wide, so we think potential for a good low strip ratio. Initial metallurgy was done in 2010 by Kinross and Agnico. They reported recoveries of 65 to 73%, so in line with what you need to make a heap leach operation work here. We're on the Sonora Mojave Mega Shear, so there's a number of heap leach deposits in operation south of us going into Mexico, El Chinate, Timmins Gold, and then north into California, you've got Mesquite, Castle Mountain, which is starting up this year, also half gram to a gram type deposits. At the current gold price, they can be very profitable as long as you have good strip metallurgy. So we just drilled four holes there this summer, primarily for metallurgy. Those are going to Kappus Cassiti right now. We're doing bottle roll and column testing. We want to first prove up the metallurgy. We think there's very good expansion potential. And we think we can double the size of this on strike. Good depth potential too. The historic resource was defined down to 70 meters. We drilled one hole this summer that was 140 meters at the same grade. So, you know, twice the depth. The question is how much of that will leach. Before we spend any money trying to make it bigger, we want to show, you know, that it leaches. No point in doubling the size if it doesn't work. So we should have those results in the next couple of months, and then we'll make a decision what to do with that project. But our primary focus and the money we've raised to date is all going towards the higher grade K deposit. Okay.
So opportunity to maybe option Sugarloaf Peak out potentially, or get it off your books?
Yeah, or potentially spin it out so that our shareholders get a share or a fraction of a share of some Yuko, and we drill that separately. Sure. We found there's a very, very different audience for low-grade heap leach compared to copper VMS.
They're absolutely.
And, you know, it's even in the last year, it's improved a lot. We're getting a lot more interest in Sugarloaf. People see it as an optionality play, but you know, when we acquired it, gold was $1,000 an ounce, so It was very marginal then.
Right. Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate that breakdown of both the K Mine and Sugarloaf Peak and into Arizona Metals. It's a very interesting play. I'm glad to have you on the show, and it's nice to, you know, get a kind of a corporate description of everything going on there with the company. And it's an exciting time for the district, but also a very exciting time for copper.
Yeah, no, we're very excited to get drilling again very soon.
All right. That is Mark Pace. He's the CEO and president of Arizona Metals. Again, trades on the TSX Venture with AMC and also on the OTCQB with AZMCF.